As I've prepared to speak today, I realise that this is a sort of behind-the-scenes sermon, in a sense, some of what I'm going to say. It's sort of taking the cover off how we look at things, how we work with the Bible, and also leaving you to do some of the work at the end, I think. So, how do we hear God from the Bible when we read it or when we hear it read? There's two ways of looking at it. We can come to the Bible with a completely clear head without thinking about anything else, look at the words and let them speak to us. Or we can come to the Bible with the stuff that we've already got going on in our lives, whatever it is that's there, and we see what the words in the Bible say to us about the things which are there already. And maybe it's always a bit of both of those that we do when we read the Bible. I have to say that it's much harder to clear your head of the things that are going on in your life and to read it completely from scratch, as it were. But I think they both come into it, and they both to do with asking God through his Holy Spirit to help us to find what he wants to, in those words, because we believe that the Word of God, the Bible, is living and active. It's written a long time ago, but it's alive for us today and makes a difference in our lives. So you'll find this for yourself when you read the Bible. You bring something, you come with a clear mind, and you bring stuff to it. You might read it on your own or in your home group. Sometimes there's something straight from the passage that you hadn't thought of at all, and sometimes there's a part of it that helps you with something that is going on in your life. Just straight away you realise that's relevant for today. And I think that's true of preaching as well. Sometimes, for example, when we're preaching over a number of weeks, we're following a book of the Bible, and we see how working through a sequence of the Bible helps us to understand the good news of Jesus and how we can be faithful followers of Jesus better by reading a long stretch over the weeks. Other times we might be doing a series to look at a particular area of the Christian life, and we will pick particular passages in the Bible that we know are helpful for that part of the Christian life. So we're getting a bigger understanding from looking at different parts of the Bible. And then at a time like this, we're not doing either of those. Instead, we're following readings from the Bible that are set for the whole church for this season, which is called Epiphany, which is when we're thinking particularly about the light of Jesus shining in the world. So at a time like this, we have a great mix. We're reading passages that we haven't particularly chosen, and it's great to see how God can speak straight out of those passages to us. But we're also freer to bring to the passages the rest of our lives and to see how those passages are speaking to us, because we're not in the middle of a series where we're trying to find a particular thing, like what was God saying to the Ephesians back then or something like that. We're able to look at these and say, well, what does God say to us today with them? So I'm going to bring some of that to the mix of these readings today. We have two readings, and they can speak for themselves, and they may already have spoken to you as you were listening to them. That's how the Bible works. God speaks to us through it. Each of them can have a bit more context to fit them in the big picture of the Bible. And then, as across the world Christians are thinking about Epiphany, then we can think about how the light is revealed through these readings, how Jesus is being recognised for who he is. And so I'm bringing that to the readings because it's this season. And then also, as I think about these readings, as I've been looking at them, there's some things for us as a church here at All Saints which are things I'm aware of, and they're part of my thinking. It was exactly 3 years ago this Sunday that Rachel preached a sermon that I've mentioned already, which encouraged us to stretch out our hand, and that message hasn't gone away, and God's been stirring that around in me. I've been reminded of it, and so I'm bringing that along. And then also I can see in these readings three areas of opportunity for us as a church. They're things which, in a sense, have been God speaking to me, for me, but I think actually for all of us as well. And in a sense, they fit with that pattern that we've talked about before. One of them is up, our connection with God. One of them is out, which is how we make a difference in the world. And the other one is in, which is about our church life and the mission of our church and how we go about that. So I'm bringing all of that along to these readings as I look at them and seeing how God speaks through them. So we have the readings, one from Nehemiah and one from Luke. Nehemiah, if you've been in church a little while, we did a series on Nehemiah just last year, and so some of you may be absolutely right there with what's going on. We're in Jerusalem. That's where the reading was set. And there are people there, the Israelites, who've come back from captivity and exile, and they have settled, some in the towns, some in Jerusalem, some for quite a while, some just recently. And Nehemiah and Ezra, who are two people who feature in the story that we read today, they've led a time of building up. They've been building the people up. The people have been building the walls of Jerusalem up, and they've been building their homes and settling into them. And just before the passage we heard, the words which are actually part of the same sentence, which we missed the beginning of, it said that in the seventh month, when the people had settled in their towns, they came together, and then all the things we heard happened about hearing the word of God. So it's from their day-to-day life, in the midst of everything, in their towns and in their activities, maybe just like us, day-to-day life, in the midst of everything, they go and hear what God wants to say to them. And we have the opportunity to hear what God wants to say to us. How wonderful to think that God speaks to us in the middle of our day-to-day. So a little bit of Nehemiah, I'll come back to it again. A little bit of Luke to give it some context there. This is an amazing time. This is a wonderful part of Jesus' ministry. He's baptized, and just a couple of weeks back we were hearing the story of his baptism. And he's been in the wilderness for 40 days. He's been fasting, and at the end of that he's tempted by the devil, but he has overcome. And then it says he comes out from the wilderness and he's filled with the Spirit, and he teaches and he amazes people, and his ministry is beginning. And just at this time, with his life, his ministry starting, and in a sense full of the Holy Spirit, he chooses to go to his hometown for this great moment of, in a sense, setting out his mission, telling people what he's all about. It's the coming together of all the time of preparation as he's been growing up, and as he's been particularly in the wilderness the last 40 days, focusing down onto this time filled with the Spirit. And he goes to where he's grown up and he announces his mission. And yes, as Jenny mentioned, if you know this passage, you realise that just a few verses later, the people of his hometown turn against him because they can't quite cope with it. But just hold it where we are for now, because it is a moment which I want to focus on. So both of these readings have a feeling of epiphany, the epiphany season that we're in about them. That's why they were chosen for today, I guess. It's all about the shining of the light, the revealing of God. In Nehemiah, the people have a revelation of God that breaks through to them in the midst of their normal life. There in the seventh month, they hear God and it moves them deeply. And in Luke, the hometown people of Nazareth see just who Jesus really is, or they begin to try and grasp that anyway, and they're amazed. Just the verse after this passage says, if we had just read on by one verse, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. Well, and so much more actually than that. So those are our two readings, with a little bit of the bigger picture around them and a little bit of epiphany season. They're wonderful. They're very rich. And then I want to look at them, thinking about where we are as a church. We're travelling through epiphany with people around the world at this time. It's wonderful to hear as a church about the signs that we're seeing of God's light, of God being at work, of God breaking out. It's always good. That's where we are as a church, partly. And then since last Advent, we have been focusing on five priority areas, which we believe God's wanting us to encourage and stir up and find things to do in each area. Prayer and God's presence is one of them. Children and families is another one. town connections, how we connect with our town, there's another. Building the body, building the church up, that's what that means. And building the beacon, which is next door, as we plan and follow God's lead in building on that land next to us. And God's working in all those areas. And in some ways that's obvious, and in other ways it's quieter. There'll be opportunities to give a bigger update on all of this when we get to our general meeting, the church annual general meeting, which happens just after Easter. And this year, we're going to actually have that meeting on a Sunday morning, sort of top and tailed by our worship. So we're going to make it part of the worshipping life of our church, which I'm encouraged to think that we think of it like that as well. So it'll be an opportunity to hear more about those areas of our church life and what God's doing and what we're doing in those areas. So there's some of our priorities. That's what's going on as a church. And then, as I mentioned, 3 years ago, Rachel preached about stretching out our hand, and I very much have that in mind. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, and God's been leading me to think about stretching out for myself, and also I believe for us as a church. And it comes into focus with the prayer that Rachel wrote, which went on from the sermon that she preached. There's one part of that prayer where we pray, give us courage to stretch out our hand in faith and hope. And I suppose that's where I am today, is thinking, how can we have courage to stretch out our hand in faith and hope? Or where should we have courage to stretch out our hand in faith and hope? So there's three things I want to focus on. None of them are completely worked out. In a sense, I want to invite you to carry on thinking about them. Firstly, there's something about our worship and seeking God, and how that can be built into our life. In Nehemiah, that chapter that we had a bit of, people were just getting on with their lives. And it must have been pretty busy. They were building things, the walls of Jerusalem. They were settling into their new homes. Stuff was happening. They were busy. But in the seventh month, they all come together and ask to hear the book of the law. And they listen to the word of God read and explained to them by Ezra and a bunch of the Levites, whose names, incidentally, are in verses 4 and 7 of that chapter, which Audrey missed out. But if you want to read all the bits we saved Audrey from having to read, then look at the word for the week in your notice sheet, because it's actually a wonderful thing to think that the words, of the names of all those people are remembered in the Bible. So anyway, a bunch of named people were there helping us, helping the Israelites to understand what that all meant. They came out of their busyness and their day-to-day lives, and they met with God, and they let that go really deep into them. They were weeping as they realized what it meant for them. But then Nehemiah and the others encouraged them not to mourn. This was a holy day, set apart, a special day. They should celebrate, go and party. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What a wonderful thing. God knows when we get to a place of weeping, when we recognize our weakness, when we know we've messed up. God knows about that, but he wants us to have joy. He wants that to be our strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength, even when you know that you've messed things up. That's a wonderful message from this passage. Do you need that? It's wonderful to think that as we come to God and say, I've messed up, so he forgives us. And he gives us joy, and that joy can be our strength. But we need to find ways of connecting with God in order for this to happen. The Israelites took time away from everything else. Jesus, in the Luke chapter we read, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom. That was something he regularly did. Are we making opportunities, even when life is really busy, whatever it throws at us, to spend time with God, to read from his word, to allow his message to go deep, and then to hear his encouragement to respond, turning from what's wrong and finding the joy of the Lord, which is our strength? The way we do that is different for each of us, and it's an area that I'm going to leave with you as a question, just to say, are you spending time It might be that you can spend time each day, a particular time each day, separate from everything else. Or it may be that you find that time in amongst what are the other things you're doing. It's amazing the different places where people connect with God in what's going on for them anyway. You may have a routine of reading from your Bible with Bible reading notes, and they help you think about the Bible and the passages you read each day. That, for a lot of people, has been really, really helpful. And it's kind of the traditional way of doing it. And if you haven't tried it, I would suggest you really do. But it's not the only way, and it doesn't work for everybody. However you do it, do find opportunities to read the Bible and to pray and to listen to God. And if that's not part of your life now, talk to somebody who you think it probably is part of their life and see how they do it and see whether that helps you to work out what you could do. And a big opportunity that we have as a church to stir this all up is the newly coming big home group, All Saints Big Home Group, which I would encourage you to get along to gather with other people and to look together at the Bible and to pray. It's an opportunity. It's once a month starting on the 13th of February. So there's that opportunity. That's one of those stretching up things, stretching out, connecting with God. And then there's out. Good news for other people. That's what the Christian message is. And that's the heart of Jesus' mission when he announces it in the synagogue. How am I, how are you part of God's mission? The things that Jesus called us to do because he said that we should carry on doing what he was doing. God will have a part for you. In fact, he's made you to be part of his mission. Whoever you are, he's made you to be part of his mission. Jesus reads those words from the Bible that announce his mission. And for us, as we read the Bible and get to know it more, we will find out the ways that God wants us to work. We can so often find those as we read the Bible. I'm sure that God can show you through the Bible ways that you can be part of things. Even if we just look at those words in Isaiah, we read about good news for the poor. And we read about proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour. God has good news for everybody, and especially for the poor. And he has favour that he wants to show people. If we really learn that for ourselves, then wow, we will have good news and we'll want to share that good news with other people. There may be ways in which you're doing God's good news stuff already. Some of those through church, some of them not through church. When we do things like providing meals, as we were doing in the church earlier, or simply things that are like talking to somebody to make them feel valued rather than worthless. These are all part of the sort of good news things that God calls us to. It's a great opportunity, actually, that we have starting on Tuesday, 26th of February in the Alpha course. And that's to help people to find the source of this good news, to help them to learn about Jesus and what the Christian faith is all about. So we're running from that February 26th on Tuesday evenings through till just before Easter time. Do think about inviting somebody to that, or do think about coming to that yourself. It is a wonderful opportunity, a wonderful way to think about the good news. And wow, has it proved to be life-changing to people? So there's something about stretching up to God and stretching out to other people, just briefly. And finally, stretching in. And I'm, again, just going to mention something briefly here. The people in the Nehemiah passage were told to go and party, go and celebrate, to go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. But also, not only that, they were told to send some to those who have nothing prepared. Generosity is another thing that is at the heart of the good news of following Jesus. Throughout most of the Bible, there's the backdrop of generosity, which is kind of assumed all the way through. God's people were encouraged from the time that God gave Moses the law that to give offerings and to share and to tithe. God's wonderful way of working is that as we respond to him, so we are released to be generous. But it is actually one of the easiest things for us to go back on, because we tend to value stuff. We tend to value money. We tend to hold on to it. It feels more easy to do that than to let go of it. And that's why it's particularly important to make this area of generosity into a custom or a habit. That's why so many Christians find tithing helpful. That is, it's not a requirement for us, but it's a great opportunity. We take a portion of anything that comes into us, and in the Bible that portion was 10%, a tenth, and we give it away. There's great joy in giving something away. There's great freedom in giving away. And I know lots of people have found that to be the case. God has this wonderful way of giving back to us when we first give to him, or give to the things that are of his kingdom. He even says in the Bible, "Test me in this." So in biblical times, the tithe was used to support the priests and the Levites, who kept the workings of the temple and synagogues going. They didn't have any other sort of income, so that's where the tithes went. Nowadays, we rightly give to all sorts of things, which is great. But it is still the case that the things that we do in church, offering meals to hard-up families, or having food parcels ready for people, having the news sheets printed, having the heating on even, being creative when we do things at our services, like jam, where we do all sorts of different things, they all cost money. And actually, pretty much all of the church's income is through our generous giving as the church. The church also has a contribution that it makes to the diocese every month, and that money is used to pay clergy and retired clergy and to run the diocesan office and pay its staff. So there's things that go on not here but out there that support us here. It's by far the biggest amount of money of outlay from our church each month, actually, is that part of what's called the parish share. For some years, we have been able to pay more than our share, because that enables us to support smaller churches who struggle to contribute anything like their part of that share. But at present, we're not being able to do that, as our contribution has gone up quite considerably, and also the giving in the church hasn't gone up at the same time. So if you feel that God is nudging you in terms of your financial generosity, then and I know he's doing that with me, then I would ask that you think about your giving to the church, whether you might start doing that if you're not, or whether you might increase that if you do give already, as we would love to have the freedom as a church to go on following in God's call without being held back by whether it will cost something or whether we have the money for it. And as you give, whoever it's to and in whatever way you give, I would remind you that the Bible invites us to look out for the way that God blesses us hugely in return. So that's a very brief thought about one way of responding to God, and that's being generous, stretching inwards, supporting his church in that way. So I'm going to leave you to finish off this sermon, because it's up to each of us to think how we might develop our customs and our opportunities, our regular ways of meeting with God. It's up to each of us to find out how we're going to live out the ways that God wants us to share his good news, to be his good news. And it's up to each of us to work out how God wants us to respond with generosity. And for some of us, that's the season to think about that. And for others, it will definitely not be the season to think about that. I mean, generosity from our hearts in many ways that we speak and stuff like that. There's lots of forms of generosity. Some of them will definitely be God's message to you, but it may not be the financial message to you today. God understands our position for each of us. In all cases, let's just look out for how wonderfully God responds to us as we have the courage to stretch out our hand in faith and hope into the things that he wants us to. Amen.